27. It's 2:47 when I notice that the girl's here, a little earlier than last night. This time I stay up, waiting for her to appear. Other than the occasional blink, I don't close my eyes once. I thought I was paying attention, but somehow I miss the actual moment she appears. She has on her usual light blue dress and is sitting there the same as before, head in hands, silently gazing at the painting of Kafka on the shore. And I'm gazing at her with bated breath. Painting, girl, and me. We form a still triangle in the room. She never tires of looking at the picture, and likewise, I never tire of gazing at her. The triangle is fixed, unwavering. And then something totally unexpected happens. Miss Saiki, I hear myself say. I hadn't planned on speaking her name, but the thought wells up in me and spills out, in a very small voice. But she hears it, and one side of the triangle collapses. Perhaps I was secretly hoping it would. I don't know. She looks in my direction, though not like she's straining to see. Her head still in her hands as she quietly turns her face, as if something, she's not sure what, has made the air tremble ever so slightly. I don't know if she can see me, but I want her to. I pray she notices me and knows I exist. Miss Saiki, I repeat. I can't keep myself from saying her name. Maybe she'll be frightened by my voice and leave the room, never to return. I'd feel terrible if that happens. No, not terrible, that's not what I mean. Devastated is more like it. If she never came back, everything would be lost to me forever. All meaning, all direction, everything. I know this, but go ahead and risk it anyway, and call her name. Of their own accord, almost automatically, my tongue and lips form her name over and over. She's not looking at the painting anymore. She's looking at me. Or at least I'm in her field of vision. From where I sit, I can't see her expression. Clouds move outside and the moonlight flickers. It must be windy, but I can't hear it. Miss Saiki, I say again, carried away by some urgent, compelling, overwhelming force. She lifts her head out of her hands, holds up her right hand in front of her as if to tell me not to say anything more. But is that what she really wants to say? If only I could go up to her and gaze into her eyes to see what she's thinking right now, what emotions are running through her. What is she trying to tell me? What is she hinting at? Damn, I wish I knew. But this heavy just before 3 a.m. darkness has snatched away all meaning. It's hard to breathe, and I close my eyes. There's a hard lump of air in my chest, as if I've swallowed a rain cloud whole. When I open my eyes a few seconds later, she's vanished. All that's left is an empty chair. A shadow of a cloud slides across the wall above the desk. I get out of bed, go to the window, and look out at the night sky, and think about time that can never be regained. I think of rivers, of tides, forests and water gushing out, rain and lightning, rocks and shadows. All of these are in me.